and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, and today I am joined by a very special guest. This lady is all things creative. She sings and plays music, and she dances, and she acts. There's nothing she can't do. It's Ash Rayner.
Hi.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the most underwhelming hello I've ever had.
Well, I didn't want to take your spotlight. That was a really awesome intro, so thanks for that.
You're welcome. So were you always creative? Were you a creative kid?
Yeah, I think I was. My mum tells me that I grew up watching Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers on TV, so I think I could bop before I could walk in time with the music. So, yeah, I'm going to say yes, I was.
Okay, good. And so why choose dance? Was it because of that?
I grew up in Noosa and the school that I went to at the time didn't have the latest in facilities when it came to, like, you know, drama and music per se. So dancing was just, there was like 12 billion dance schools around. So yeah, like it was just location, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't because you wanted to do it?
Oh, absolutely. I wanted to, but that was why I started doing dancing first. Yeah.
And what about your career options? Like, were you, I'm doing dance. This was a specific career path or a specific, like, way you wanted to go or take it?
Yeah, I mean, I always wanted to be an actress. That was like never in question, like ever, which was really interesting. And then I started doing singing lessons as well. And then the dancing was just the thing that I ended up succeeding in the most when I was a kid. But funnily enough, it was actually the one that I thought I was the worst at out of the three. So, yeah.
But was there a specific goal in mind with the dance? Do you have anything?
No, like I never wanted to be a competitive dancer or anything. I did, but like I did compete competitively. Oh God, that's a terrible sentence. Scratch that. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, the dancing just made the singing and the acting and everything stronger. So it was just all performance stuff and I really enjoyed it. And then I got into musical theatre, so I suppose that helped with that too.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you liked musical theatre?
I did. Yes.
When did you start doing that?
In high school, I think. When I got to high school, we had, yeah, more facilities, so that was fun. And I did the musical in year 8. It was every 2 years at the school I went to, so 8, 10, and 12.
Do you have a favourite one? Like, what sort of, when we're saying musical, what are we talking about?
The first one was, you know what? I can't even remember it. But we did Singing in the Rain in year 10. That was fun. I was the only like year 10 person to have some sort of line because they usually give all the older kids the roles. And then in year 12, we did Back to the 80s, which was a total vibe. I really, really enjoyed that. That was fun.
Cool. Nice. Mm. And so what about the acting? When did that come into it all? The actual acting.
Theatre acting?
Well, just when did you start doing it?
Yeah, okay. Well, I suppose musical theatre is acting.
Yes, it is, yes.
So, yeah. Look, high school was probably where that took off for me because I actually could study drama in year 8, so that was really fun. And I became a part of, like, the senior, a drama club, which was really cool because at the time, I think I was in year 10 when I got invited to do that and only year 11s and 12s were supposed to do it. So that was really cool. And yeah, after high school, I kind of just milled around a little bit because, you know, when you graduate, you have no idea what you want to do or like how to do it. But yeah. Yeah, I forgot the question, but yeah.
Acting.
Acting.
and your want to do it.
Yeah. Literally, I've always wanted to be an actor. I think my shtick was like, I just wanted to tell stories and impact people. And I thought that acting was the way that I could do that. And also, I kind of feel like I'm a bit of a chameleon, like there's 12 people living inside of me. So it was a good way to get all of those people out at the time too. So, yeah.
Have you ever thought of an exorcism?
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Fair enough. And so you finish high school and you want to continue your theatrical pathway?
Yeah.
So what'd you do?
So like when you're in high school, they're like, oh yeah, you got to go to uni. So I went and studied like WAPA, NIDA, VCA, like all of the big sort of drama acting colleges. And I went and auditioned for those. And the general consensus or feedback was like, you know, you're a bit young, you need to go get some life experience first. Which I don't know if this is true or not, but I was told that they tell like a lot of people fresh out of school that because you don't know about life yet. You're like still a tween. So Yeah, I auditioned for schools and that didn't kind of really work out. And then I kind of floated around for a bit trying to figure out what I wanted to do. So I ended up getting a job at the local movie theater. And I worked at the cinema for a bit. And funnily enough,
I suppose it's a part of the entertainment industry.
Right, that's what I thought. Yeah. I was like, got a toe in. But they actually did like an ad for the candy bar on the cinema screen. And I remember they had no one to do it. And they called me. I wasn't even working that day. And they're like, oh, Ash wants to be an actress. She'll want to do this. And I like raced in my uniform. And it was like the most corny, like me pouring a soda or Coke, in my life. And like, it was just hilarious. So I was actually on the big screen for a very small amount of time while working for that cinema. So there you go.
Hey, yeah. You can put it on the resume. Commercial's a commercial.
Yeah, right?
That's the truth, man. Why not? Why not indeed? So you speak, so then you're at the movie theatre working away. So how did we then jump into the acting and what did you do after the movie theatre?
Yeah, so I kind of like, I was getting life experience. So this was me trying to get life experience, right? So I'm working at the cinema. I was like, oh, maybe I should go to uni. There was like, I felt like, I was like the oldest child. I'm like, I'll go to uni, like set an example, whatever. But I was always really interested in like psychology and that sort of thing. And I was like, oh, this will tie in really well with the acting. So I went to uni and I studied a Bachelor of Psychology with a drama minor so that I could scratch that itch at the same time while also still being, smart person going to study a thing. Tick that box. Yes, mum and dad, thank you. And I ended up realizing in my third year of psych that drama, like I was more excited for and more passionate for all of my drama classes than anything else. And I used everything I learned in my psychology and I just took it with me to drama class and I became a better actor. So once I kind of realized that, I was kind of like, oh, I think I need to move to a big smoke and really give this a go. So that's when I decided to move to Brisbane, which is kind of where everything kind of changed, I guess.
And you got yourself an agent?
I did.
And you started doing jobs, acting jobs and auditions.
I did. It was a slow start though. Getting an agent and like a good agent is kind of difficult because you really need to find someone that you kind of gel with and that understands who you are and what you want to do as a performer, but also like that they work for you and you work for them. It's really a relationship. So it's like a two-way street. So it's good to have a good sort of connection. It did take me a little while to sort of find where I fit in the big smoke and also an agent that would work with me and what I wanted to do with my career. Because again, like I do the singing and the dancing and the acting. So it was kind of like, how do you incorporate all of that? Fortunately I have an awesome agent, which I got about a year ago now. And things have been progressing well since.
But before then, so tell us about, because I know this story, tell us about the worst advice an agent, and we won't mention the agent, what was the worst advice an agent ever gave you?
I was always told that like being able to sing and dance and act would make you like, what are they, the triple threat thing? So it's like, it's a credit. It makes you like way more talented and you have all these different facets that you can pull from and talents and things. But I was advised at one point in my career, I suppose, yes, that I should remove anything to do with singing or dancing from all of my profiles. I have to pick. I'm either an actress or a singer or a dancer. I can't be all three because it's impossible to market someone as all three. And I just, at the time, because you're new to the industry and you don't really know and you everyone tells you to trust your agent. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. So I literally went through my Facebook and I deleted like everything to do with singing and dancing from my Facebook, from like all of my casting profiles. I just didn't write. But then it's like, what talents do you have? And I was like, I'm a singer. So I was very, it was a very confusing time, but
I
did that.
Would you concur that's the dumbest advice that has ever been spoken?
Absolutely.
Because yes. It is the dumbest advice. So I mean, the more skills you can put out there, the better it is and the more chance you have of getting work.
Yeah, where were you 5 years ago when someone needed to tell me that?
I was like, duh. Anyway.
Hey.
Now another thing I know, we're not going to go into the ins and outs of it all, but I know that you had a pretty uncomfortable experience on a particular shoot, but we won't go into that, like I say. But what I do want to know is if there's any young women listening to this podcast, which, I mean, that is my demographic. I'm being humorous. But no, if there are any young ladies listening to this particular interview, what would be your advice to them if they found themselves in a similar situation to what you found yourself in?
Yeah, look, it really, it just comes down to knowing that it's okay to speak up for yourself and that there's absolutely no ramification for doing that. Like, if you are uncomfortable with a situation or something, or even if you, like, say you're, like, cast in, like, sort of like an indie project and, you know, there's maybe some scenes that might be uncomfortable, like, before you even get there, like, speak up about what you're comfortable with first and what you're not comfortable with. Like, if they don't want to work with you after that, then you shouldn't be working with them anyway. So I definitely think, like, have a great chat with yourself, have a great chat with, like, a peer maybe, and then make it very, like, clear to the person that you're working with that this is what you're okay with and this is what you're not okay with. And the other good thing that I would probably recommend is if you are represented and you have an agent, like, have that conversation with your agent and keep them in the loop. Like, if you're ever on a set and something's not going well or your way, well, not really your way, but, like, you know, you're not comfortable with something, you can call your agent and let them know, and they will literally fight your fights for you if you feel like you can't. Like, they're there to support you. So, yeah.
And also, I think it's important to mention that if you don't, I mean, it doesn't matter what sort of a shoot it is, whether it be a photo shoot with a dodgy photographer or a film shoot or whatever it might be, it is okay to extricate yourself from that situation.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. Like, you know, if it's gotten to the point where now we're uncomfortable and, like, you just leave. Like, it depends on what sort of, like, uncomfortable we're talking here. But yeah, absolutely. Like, leave.
And if they come back and say, well, you'll never work again, you'll say, well, that's fine. And then you go and you tell your agent the situation.
Yeah. Which is why I'm always, like, be upfront about it in the beginning, because then they can't turn around and go, oh, you were difficult. Like, that was my fear. Like, I didn't want to speak up because I didn't want to be difficult. I didn't want to not be hired again. I knew nothing about that side of the industry, what was okay or what wasn't. So, you know, so I didn't really speak up. And now it's like, yeah, I can do that. And if you do it in the beginning, they can't really hold a grudge because, hey, you gave them a heads up. So that's on them.
And also, I should also point out, if the situation is really, really bad, and again, I don't want to say that your situation was this sort of thing, but if the situation is really, really, really bad, you should obviously call the authorities and the police and whatnot if you find yourself in a situation that turns very, very nasty.
I hope any of the ladies or guys listening to this would know that. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so yes, but so it is okay to speak up and to say no and to remove yourself and to report them to agents and whatnot.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
And just to be comfortable and be happy in what you're doing.
Well, that's the thing. Like, all of the best creativity and the best, like, work that I've ever put out there is when I was having a good time and I felt supported and comfortable and I was also just having fun. Like in a lot of, like, the acting classes and things that I do, because, you know, you get around and it's like they call it play. You're there to play and have a good time, and that's literally what you do. And you can't do any of that if you're not feeling supported and comfortable. So it literally makes your job really hard if you don't speak up for yourself and have a good time. So, yeah.
And speaking about your best work, of course, you've worked for Beer Nuts Productions.
I have.
and so do you have a particular favourite Beer Nuts Productions role or funny Beer Nuts Productions experience you'd like to share with the humble listener?
Oh, there's too many to choose from, Goff. I think I had the most fun on set with you the last shoot we did, which was Unsung Heroes, Unspoken Heroes. Oh, my God, I got the name wrong, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Oh, you can kick me out now.
You'll never work again.
Never again. You're fired.
See, now I feel uncomfortable and I'm going to speak up about it.
I'm sorry.
You insulted me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's Reluctant Heroes.
Reluctant Heroes, thank you.
Horse race commentators.
I read that you said Unsung Heroes in that script, though. I'm gonna quote you.
I never said Unsung Heroes.
There was Unsung in there, wasn't there?
Never.
All right, I take it back.
They were always Reluctant.
Oh, scratch it from the record.
Yes, Reluctant. So why did you enjoy that particular shoot?
It was the one shoot where I got to be there the entire time. So that was fun because I also worked as a crew member for you as well as an actress, which was really fun. So, yeah, I got to see, I suppose, many sides of Goff over the 2 days that we were shooting. And it was a lot of fun. And I also really enjoyed sort of, like, supporting other actors too. I don't know. It was just, like, it was quite good. But I also have to say that the more you write roles and ask me to do them, the more I kind of get to pay you out in the role. And I think that that's really funny because I wouldn't do that in real life. But
no?
Well, no, but, like,
it's not true at all.
It's really funny, yeah.
You constantly insult me and hurt my feelings. I'm very sensitive.
It's laced with sarcasm, Goff, you know this.
I'm a sensitive soul. I'm like a delicate flower.
Aw, precious.
And you've also been in couples therapy and Mr. Eligible.
Yes.
And you did a voiceover for the education. You'd rule the Beer Nuts Productions airwaves.
No, well, not as much as, what's his name? The other guy who's in all of them all the time. You tell me about them all the time. I have a memory like a sieve. Go on.
Well, there's a few.
Yeah.
What's Kale Campers?
Yeah, Kale, yeah.
He's been in quite a few. He's been on the Beer Nuts Productions podcast.
Has he now?
He has.
Yeah, see, he's beating me. I'm sure he's still beating me.
He's been in about 10 of my films.
Yeah, see, there you go. Miles ahead.
You're about four.
Four, yeah.
And you're now five if you include the podcast.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm going up, yeah. Up the ladder. Woo.
So if you do want to see Ashley in all of her acting glory, beernutsproductions.com, of course, is where you can go to do that. Now, you do, as we mentioned earlier, have another string to your bow, which is music.
Mm.
So tell us a little bit about, because you do original content, which is very cool indeed. Mm. So tell us a little bit about your songwriting process for your original music.
Yeah. Well, I actually was fortunate enough to get together with a couple of friends recently on a project that originally belonged to one of these friends. And we did a bit of a collaboration and we wrote six songs together, which are out on an album at the moment. It was a very soft launch. Nobody knows about it, but now they do.
They do. Everybody does because everybody listens to this podcast.
Exactly. But the three of us worked really well the first time around and, we got excited about it. So we've started sort of getting together on a semi-regular basis to write more, and I will have a bit more of an input now, which is like really exciting. Thank you. Thank you, friends. But So, yeah, we just basically, it's Casper Hall, Scott McDonough and myself. Casper has a sound studio in Brisbane and he does a lot of the music composition, and so does Scott, actually, for that matter. And then, like, the three of us sort of write together and we all kind of tee up together to work on melodies and lyrics and things like that. And we all use experiences from our past and things that we've gone through just to kind of, like, get it out in the world. At the moment, it's a really sort of, like, acoustic sort of vibe. And I think we'll probably break into doing a little bit more like bluesy rock stuff, because that's kind of where my history with band or gigging was over the last few years. So and the other guys as well. So yeah, pretty excited to see where that goes, actually. So stay tuned for that.
And so the three of you get into a room together. How does it do you all fight terribly and say, I don't like your tune? And the other one says, you know what, I don't like your voice. And then you have a big argument and smash the equipment like Oasis, Liam and Noel Gallagher style. Is that how it works?
I wish we were that cool, but no, it's very amicable. we're very lucky because, like, I don't know, most bands probably. I don't know how PG it is. But yeah, Scott and I probably get together first, and Casper may have, like, worked on some sort of a music piece, but Scott and I will usually get together and work on some lyrics, and then we'll come up with, like, maybe, like, a first chunk of something, like a verse and a chorus, so you get a good vibe of where the song's going to go, and then we'll just sort of get together and see if everyone likes it and see if you want to tweak it here or there, or, oh, this is nice, we could do this here, or maybe change this to this, and, yeah, we just talk it out. I think the current song that we're writing, there was, like, four or five different versions of the thing, and we're not overly attached to it because it's just a collaboration and it's kind of beautiful, so, yeah.
And do you love it? Like, do you really, like, when you team up with those lads, do you really, like, is it something that you, like, thoroughly enjoy and you wish you could sort of do it forever kind of a situation? Like, do you really, really get into it and excited about it?
I do. And the one thing that pains me is that I still need to work a day job, so I don't have as much time in my life to get into the studio and write as I would like to. And it's also a muscle that I haven't really used in a while. I think the last time I wrote prior to getting together with Scott and Casper was, like, in high school. So, it's unleashing a side of myself that I think I had buried for a while, and it's been a real adventure. And I think the first album is amazing. Like, I'm going to toot my own horn. I'm pretty proud of it. Even though I didn't get to do, like, a whole heap on it. Like, I'm singing in one of the songs, which we'll hear in a bit, but, they're just getting better and better. So yeah, it's really exciting.
No, that's cool, man. you should be pumped because it's something you're really passionate about and you really dig it.
Yeah.
And you play the ukulele.
I do. Scott actually helped me buy my ukulele and forced me to play it because I wanted to do a duo. And I was like, you play guitar, man, and I'll sing. And he was like, I'll only do it if you play ukulele too. And I was like, what? So I do have to thank him for pushing me to practice that instrument. Yeah, I mean, I'm still learning stuff, but like singing is definitely sort of like my skill, but ukulele is, you know, it's getting there.
I think Scott was on the right path, just by the way, because it gives you a point of difference.
It does. It does give us a point of difference. So.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
It is. I'm not being sarcastic. It really
Thank
is.
Thank you.
But we are going to hear a song in a minute. We'll get you to tee that up in just a second. But before we do, give yourself a dirty, great big plug. Firstly, Ash Rayner, where can we learn more about Ash Rayner? And then where can we learn more about the music? What about the band? Does it have a name? You haven't told us what it's called.
we kind of don't really have a name at the moment. We're working on it. But if you want to listen to the album that we released, it's called The Sea, My Nemesis and Myself. And it's by Scott Walter Music. So that's kind of what we're riding under at the moment. The new one might be something different. Who knows? It's a progression, team effort. But you can find that on like Spotify or YouTube Music, all of the sort of streaming platforms. It's definitely look upable.
Are there links on your socials to it? Because there should be.
There will be. I'm going to say yes, and I will do that right now.
Good.
And alternatively, if you want to look at some of my acting stuff, I do have a website, which is, I think it's just www.ashleyrayner.com, to be honest. Alternatively, I have an Instagram and a Facebook, and you're welcome to come and stalk me,
and
politely.
What are they? Ashley Rayner as well?
Yes, Ashley Rayner. And always Ashley Rayner.
Are you an IE or an EI?
I'm an ASHLEIGH.
Yeah, because there's so many ways to spell it.
No, I'm the OG, mate. OG.
You're the Fortune 500 kind.
Yeah.
So, before we get into this this musical tune you tell us all about it, I do want to obviously thank you for coming on the Beer Nuts Productions podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Why do you say it like that?
Because
you're all shy all of a sudden. What's wrong?
Yeah, I was, you know, talking about myself for 20 minutes. It's exhausting.
It's never stopped you before.
It's just me and you in a car, man. We just
just get sick of it. Just Ashley.
I worry about that, yeah.
No, thank you so much for coming. I genuinely do appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And, of course, like and subscribe to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. And if you want to see Ashley's acting work as well, beernutsproductions.com, which is also the home of all your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs, because there's so much good stuff on there, you know, besides Ashley, but there's other good stuff on there too. And of course, like and subscribe to the podcast and leave a friendly comment, and a 5-star rating would be nice as well. Now, Ashley, this particular song that you're going to play for us today, what's it called and what's it about?
It's called Beautiful Blue, and Scott actually wrote the lyrics to this song, so it's his baby. I was fortunate enough to do some vocals on it, but basically I sing the voice of the sea, and Scott represents the man looking for solace in the sea. But you can really, the beauty about Scott's writing is that you can interpret it any way you want. So if you're listening to it and you connect with it a completely different way or a really unique way, like I do sometimes as well, it's kind of what it's meant to do. So yeah, I hope you like it. We're going to do kind of like a weird acoustic version of it, but the Beautiful Blue track on The Sea, My Nemesis and Myself is arranged completely differently. So if you want to give that a listen, it's really beautiful. So yeah, highly recommend.
Come to me, lover, my heart is away. Feelings are flowing and free. My face is shimmering, shiny and blue. All of your dreams and desires are met in me. Come to me, lover, so weary and wasted. Come rest your soul in my deep, worrying spirit and furrowing brow. All of your needs and desires here I will in your words here on the sand. But it for you. Patience, my lover, and I will be seen. Take a step further and feel. Wind will be kind and the waves will be still. Come let me kiss your reflections. Come and be healed.
Throwing aside all my passionate doubts, hungry eyes stripped to my skin.